listeners, and welcome back. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Casey, and this is I Kid You Not. So, what's going on?
I want to hear about you first. Tell me about this week, your vacation.
It was so good. I just got back today. We rented this really beautiful house that was right across from the ocean, and the property that was right across from us was just land
for sale.
So we had this great view of the ocean.
Nice.
Yeah. And there was a pool, and it was just nice to all be together. My mom's still recuperating and not fully herself, so there was definitely more of my brother worked a little bit. My dad worked a little bit. So me and Courtney kind of were with the kiddos, and we were off on little adventures, daytime activities. And so it was good. Well, I got a lot of time in with the baby. I got a lot of time in with my 8-year-old nephew. So that's why I get the house, is to have the full day to night experience. Hunter would stay in bed with me until 11 every night. So we had little sleepovers. It was very relaxing, but also exhausting because kids are just...
Well, yeah, you're on vacation with children. It's a lot.
Well, you're also going from almost a 10-month-old baby to a 8-year-old. So there is a drastic activity difference. I have to say, like, my back and my shoulder, my neck, I don't know if it was the bed or the fact that I wasn't used to holding a baby all the time. I'm sore as hell. I definitely need like a spa day. I'm not kidding. Next year, maybe we'll go somewhere different because it's our second year in the row of going. Isle of Palms, it's 20 minutes outside of Charleston, about 40 minutes to the airport. We went to this famous seafood restaurant called Leon's, and I had a great experience. I actually tried fried catfish, and I tried this potato with cheese stuff on it, and then hush puppies, which just
was also not fried.
Fried, but not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
This was like a really great food journey. My food therapist, it's coming a long way because normally I have anxiety attack and I feel very pressured. Everyone stares at you to try things and you get very overwhelmed. And this, I just like picked up the fork and went in. So it's working and it felt really good. I was really proud of myself and just taking steps at a time.
That's huge.
Yeah. Probably won't have the hush puppy again, but the fried catfish was so bad.
But it's also, I would imagine, kind of reassuring to know that, like, you tried this hush puppy. You didn't like it, but nothing bad happened to you. You didn't get sick. You just didn't like it. And that's okay.
No, it felt good. It felt good. My sister-in-law was so cute. She wound up ordering a grasshopper, which I didn't know what that was. And I got a shake. And she got champagne also. And I'm like, oh, God, an alcoholic shake with a champagne glass. That's not a great combo. And then the champagne comes and she gives it to me. And she's like, I want to celebrate you because that was really incredible. And yeah, it was a very sweet gesture. It meant a lot. I feel like with this issue, you always get kind of bullied a little bit about it because people just can't understand it. So it was nice to feel that accolade and get to enjoy it without the criticism.
That's awesome. Thanks. I love that. Mm-hmm. So Saturday I had my nephew. He's 10 now. He's playing baseball. And it's actually a little bit more legit. And he was pitching. He's a very cerebral kid. And that's why I think that baseball is a good sport for him, because he's just very thoughtful in like everything he does. But he's already 10 years old and he's already like so hard on himself.
I was competitive in sports, but I don't recall it being... I don't know, because you didn't know any better. And I don't know if I was really watching soccer, you know, on TV.
Probably not.
So I feel like you just kind of go in. It was the sport that was the activity. And yeah, you're hard on yourself, but I don't know if you know
that I spoke to like my aunts about it, you know what I mean? Or anyone else about what I was feeling, which I think is a big difference now that like kids are more willing to talk about it when it's happening. It's just weird how he's just such a big kid now. He is far more emotionally intelligent than most like adults I know. Kids these days are far more evolved than we were. Growing up, if a guy was emotionally intelligent, he definitely would have gotten made fun of by other guys growing, like when we were young. But now I feel like it's praised. I don't know. Maybe
I'm
wrong.
Did we know someone who's emotionally intelligent?
We probably didn't. And if they were, there's definitely not a space. I still don't know emotionally intelligent men, but
Fair.
Yeah, and then I had a friend's sprinkle for baby number two. It was lovely and low-key and just delicious food. Yeah, she and her daughter were in, like, matching dresses. It was so cute. We went out after, and I got a little drunk. I haven't really gotten drunk like that in a while, where, like, the next day I'm out of commission. I was out of commission yesterday, just on the couch. It's been, like, months and months since I've been that drunk. I had a great time after, but I really didn't love how I felt yesterday.
That's really what drove me away. Yeah. That aftermath.
Not fun. I did get a lot of TV watching in because I was just a lump. And it's so unfortunate because it was fucking beautiful yesterday, like a beach day. But I did watch the entire series. It's only one season of Three Body Count on Netflix. I had been hearing about it. I guess it was a book that was released in China and then translated, and then Netflix bought it. It is so fucking good, thought-provoking, and super interesting. I highly recommend if you have a spare 9 hours, or just add it to your list. You don't have to do it in one day. Like I did.
It was fair. I'm in a one day kind of watcher. You know me. I'm a full committer. I'll definitely check it out. I recycled on my trip, and I know you don't like Shailene Woodley. I'm not a huge fan of her. She you know, I know there's a thing, but like I still like everything she's in, right?
And same. So I still watch stuff she's in. She's just not my cup of tea.
I'm with you. So I watched The Secret Life of an American Teenager, and I got to tell you, I've watched it maybe 10 times, but it's almost leaving Hulu. So I'm like, let me just put it and just rewatch. And my nephew, he kept saying, what is this show? Meanwhile, he watches crap and he's telling me I'm watching crap, which is the irony. That,
so he thought Secret Life was crap?
He was like, what is this? And I'm like, this is not appropriate for you. But I found out my brother because I saw on a TikTok that Oklahoma and I think Nebraska got hit by a crazy tornado.
Yes, I was going to send it to you, but I'm like, you know what? She's on vacation. Let me not bother her with this. But I know how obsessed. Much I know how obsessed you are with that stuff. And that was your favorite movie.
Oh my. So he didn't know. He never saw Twister and didn't even know what I was talking about. I was very offended. So I downloaded and watched it on the ride, and I kept sending him things because I'm like, this is shameful. This is an amazing cast, and it's actually something you'll like. And just I'm suggesting it doesn't mean
it's bad.
Right. Okay. I get your opinion of my suggestions is very low, but this is not one of them.
No, not that's like an amazing movie.
It's getting a remake, and I you can't touch certain movies. Oh. They just don't hit it the same way. So I got hooked. And then when I saw that it was happening in Oklahoma, it was a bad one.
No, I won't lie. When I was seeing the videos from Nebraska and Iowa, I think it was on Instagram, I at first thought it was maybe like a preview for a movie because it was so insane.
Yeah.
One tornado was so fucking big, the base of it, that I'm like, if that's what it's like at the bottom, that's insane.
No.
I'm like, okay, this has to be like CGI for a movie or something. And then I read the caption. This is happening in real time.
I thought because I said Twister, the algorithm was just giving me old, you know, videos.
Yeah.
And I said it to my parents. I'm like, I don't know if this is current or not. And they're like, no, it is current.
I hope they're rebuilding and doing better there now, but because that looked fucking scary.
Well,
I don't know. As much as you love that movie, I remember seeing that in middle school and being like, okay, I will never live in the middle of the country for that reason. Because dude, I was thinking
this is a lot of money to like build a house, and you know that you're in tornado land. Some of them have these little bunkers. I couldn't help it. I got like went down the rabbit hole. And some of them are very small. I would build a whole freaking like house down there because like you don't want your actual valuable stuff with all your memories and all your documents to be in the house that could just blow away.
I mean, I live in Long Beach, as you know, and flood insurance here is outrageous. If you want to buy a house in Long Beach, you have to pay a hefty price in flood insurance every year. And that's the choice you make to live by the beach, right? Because if, God forbid, another hurricane comes through, you're fucked. So is there such a thing as tornado insurance?
I assume it would be. I can't imagine in that kind of area. There's gotta be. But like, so at Isle of Palms where I was staying, all the houses are built.
They're on stilts.
So like the garage was massive. And at first I was like, what a waste of space. And then I realized when I looked around.
Yeah, no, a lot of coastal towns do that now. Yeah. Long Beach, anyone who's rebuilding in Long Beach, in order to get flood insurance, your house has to be raised.
And that's the smartest thing, honestly, because it's a ton of money. I mean, why have to redo that over and over? It's not worth it.
I know.
That's why I was thinking when with this tornado thing, there was this one video that showed F1, F2 to F5, and F5 is the worst. It was just all gone, you know, on F5s. And I can't even imagine your whole...
Right.
Everything you own is completely dust, like it's gone, and not have some place safe for the memory stuff.
Basically, what would you do if in New York, because there have been random tornadoes in New York, nothing like an F5 or anything, but what would you do if that happened near us?
Well, first off, an apartment building, I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, but if I were in the land where tornadoes were a reoccurrence, I'd make, this is a personal thing. Obviously, guys, we have no idea what we're talking about.
No idea, right.
We don't live in that world. We don't understand.
I don't know what I do.
I remember coming back from my brother's wedding, and we were at the airport, and we had to go to a tornado shelter in the airport because there was a tornado that went out. Yeah. It was so cool.
No way.
Yeah, at the airport, they made everyone go down into the tornado shelter. I took pictures because I was so fascinated. I wanted to stay and watch. I'm such a psychopath. I think if I lived out there, I probably would have been part of the tornado crew.
You'd be a watcher or a chaser?
Yeah, chaser. I'd be a chaser. I think I'd be totally into it.
I don't think I would, because I was thinking that watching these videos, like, wow, this guy is super close to that tornado. And if that thing hooks right, he's fucked. I would never do that. That just would never be made.
It was one guy that was standing out on, or a woman standing out on their porch, but the whole roof blew off. Maybe you should get inside.
Is no one else terrified here? What's going on?
I mean, it's a beautiful beast of a scary, I can't even imagine what that experience truly is in person.
Back to your regularly scheduled programming. So yeah, I had no natural disasters happen this weekend, I don't think.
I had a full sober trip. Like, I'm talking even California sober. I have been fully sober for 9 days.
Oh, nice.
That's a long time for me.
Do you think you could ever date someone who didn't even, like, at least smoke pot?
Yeah, I think
I feel like you could be fine with no drinking, whatever. But, like, if...
I'd be fine across the board, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Honestly, at some point, I want to, like, wean off completely. It's so numbing every night. You get lazy.
Yeah.
I think I'd be completely fine. And I would like someone that isn't, I'm open to whatever, but ideally, if I had the perfect case scenario, wouldn't mind like a social drink. I like a social drink, but overall, it's just not my vibe. So
yeah,
I don't mind a fully sober person.
Yeah. I don't think that would be like a deal breaker for me, but I just was thinking about it with Lindsay and Carl, again, being inspired by our friends on reality TV.
I almost caught up, by the way. I have one episode left. I have one episode left.
Good. Because it's interesting watching them, because they started and he knew she drank. And like, granted, she did stop for a while. And I'm sure that felt really nice for him and supportive. But I wonder, like, is it fair of him to, he seems almost not resentful, but a little upset that she started again.
I think it goes both ways, to be honest.
Yeah. And to be fair, she's also like a crap drunk, Lindsay. She gets angry and activates when she's drinking.
She honestly shouldn't. Sometimes I truly believe that alcohol does not agree with everybody and they bring out like a demon in people. And some people just should not drink. But to be honest with you, her sobering up for him was not for herself. And so at the end of the day, it wasn't going to be longevity. It was always driven by the wrong reasons. And at the end of the day, that's why she went back to it. Unfortunately, with him, I think he does not like that other side. He didn't like that other side to her because she sucks drinking for the most part.
And I was going to say, and you can, we can all agree with him there. And we don't even know Lindsay that well, but she is more enjoyable sober. It is tricky because I feel also like with her, you knew I drank coming into this. And then now to kind of feel like.
I think they both put a wool over their heads. I think they kept themselves blind for a reason.
Yeah,
and
me too.
The reason why it didn't work is because if the glasses were off.
Yeah. And it's like suddenly, well, now it's becoming real, right? Like there, it's a real countdown. And I do hate, I think Carl said that. I don't know if he said it in this episode or in a couple of episodes ago when he was like, well, it's getting real now. And it's like, bro, it should have been getting real for you a while ago, not right. 2 months before your wedding. Like when you asked her to marry you, it should have been real then.
Right. 100%.
I hate when guys say shit like that. Like,
but like also she's talking like they're not, you know, intimate with each other and
right.
And that it's, he's not even going, she's not even going. And she's like, I know he feels a lot of pressure. And I'm like, this sounds like, this is not how
good, people. Abort mission.
Right. He shouldn't have to like focus so hard to his completion, to the journey of, you know, what everyone wants to be at. He shouldn't have to focus that hard to get to the finish line. Like I'm bored and I'm not even the one sleeping in this situation.
Clearly you and I are not men and we don't have male genitalia, so we can't speak to it. But if there are men listening, I am curious, is that like a normal thing? Does that happen where you...
I'm someone that couldn't go ever. I didn't date them. So one of my close friends did. But he never went. Like, it was like a thing he had where he couldn't go.
I mean, he was probably taking care of himself far too often, if that is the case.
Right. I heard of this. Some guys, like
is it psychological? Is it...
I don't know if it's... Because, like I said,
you're going too much. Did you ever watch that show, Masters of Sex, on Showtime? Mm-hmm. It was an awesome show. But basically, it was like the first couple, they were the first people to study sex and, you know, what an orgasm is and what all this stuff is. And from like a purely scientific standpoint, but it was also very controversial because the only way to really study it was to have like humans have sex in front of you. It's honestly a fascinating show. It was so interesting. Well, I feel one like of the men, things they like come them. Out, like that came from their studies was that women can have several orgasms or like back-to-back mm-hmm. orgasms and men really can't.
Correct.
So that is like a scientific fact that it is.
There's some men that need a like an hour to warm up and get back into the game. There's some men that need 10 minutes and they can go. But most of the time men go, girls don't finish. Like girls, most of the time, girls don't. They don't have orgasm every time they go.
Right. Like, it's normal for a woman to not always have orgasm or not, you know, not always get there to completion. It's far less, not normal's not the word
it's far I'm less looking common. For. Look, it happens. You know, if you drink too much, there's other circumstances come into play, mm-hmm. stress or whatever, it happens. But, like, as a female in the past, it's like, is it me? Am I not doing it for you? Or are you thinking of something else? Like, you know, it is a mind fuck, whichever way you want to spin it.
Right. So that's why I'm so curious because I've heard the, I was really drunk kind of thing. But Carl's completely sober. So that's got to mean something.
Yeah, if he's like not on the same wavelength. They're not on the same wavelength. So the sex is just because they are not connecting.
At what point in a relationship for you would it take like you being like, okay, we've got to like sit down and talk about this and figure out what this is because this isn't okay with the not having sex. How they're just like, she gave their sex life a 2 and they are 2 months out from being married. They should be 2.5 all over each other. 2.5.
Half.
Give them the half.
If it was marriage, you know,
like it was your fiance.
I would say for the most part, if you feel connected to your spouse, but maybe the sex, you know, isn't happening as much close to marriage, it could just be because weddings are really stressful and I wouldn't pay money to it. But if it was a lot of aspects where I was questioning, I don't know if this is right. I think we need to sit down and get realigned. Work on us before we even think to move forward.
For me, when I'm starting to feel not aligned and I'm starting to feel like I want out or something's not right, the first thing that happens is that I'm not turned on by you anymore. So I like withdraw physically.
Me too.
So it's fine.
I also think women can go a lot longer without sex than men. Like, you can months, you can go years, like go through your sexual rushes and you get your, and then there's moments where you're like, I'm good for a while. Don't go near me. Don't touch me. I don't need it. Whereas men, I feel it's always on their mind in some form.
Yeah, I know. So this is interesting. I wonder if Carl and Lindsay like try to be in their mindset. I wonder if he tries or a lot or if he just doesn't even try. If he's not even trying, that's bad. That's worse to me.
It doesn't seem like that was happening. Because honestly, yeah. once you see another side to your partner that you, again, had your glasses on for your love glasses yeah. on and they came off, once you see that other side, it's hard to unsee it and it's hard to not be like disturbed or disgusted by them. Some people could just shut it off and compartmentalize and just get into the sex and it could just be right. whatever it is. But some people,
I think sex is just sex and it can be that. I can't either. Maybe there was a time in my life when I could, when I was younger, but like now, sure. You know, I guess there are times it would be nice, but no, for me, so much emotional attachment goes into me like being that vulnerable with you
there are couples out there that only rage sex. Like if they fight, yeah. it gets them turned on. If they're upset and they make up, it yeah. gets them turned on. So that's toxicity.
It's not me.
But that there are a lot of people out there that do have that other side of it. That's just not healthy. I
completely agree.
At this age of life, I can't do it either. It's not my
No, and even the like you said, like the rage that I've never ever been turned on or like, I mean, I get maybe makeup sex, but I've never wanted to have sex with someone like fighting with them. Like I've never been turned on by it. Yeah, when I'm upset like about something, I need a minute, get away from me. Maybe we can have makeup sex in a few hours, but right now I still have to like decompress from what just happened. I don't think I could do it.
You
right. And I've forgiven you and I'm going to get over it. I've agreed to forgive you, but you got to give me a minute. We're not sleeping together now.
I'm going to drag this part out just a little bit more to be spiteful before I fully give in.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's like almost Freudian, right? Like now you're going to reward them for doing something shitty. No fucking way. It's like with animals, with your pets. You don't give them a treat and they shit on the floor.
When I was in my 20s, I definitely didn't know any better. So
I think also wanting to stay
close and you're afraid they were going to leave. And so you would just hold.
Any kind of emotion
right.
you took to that level. Even if the emotions were negative, it was still some kind of emotion that they were eliciting and it meant something. I think that's more what it is. On a completely separate note, since we just brought up pets, this weekend got harnesses and leashes for my cats.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And I got them both the same size. Now, if you look at my cats, you could tell that Jimmy is a little bit bigger than Janice. But I never thought it was this, like, significant difference. I got them the same size harness. And this little fat-ass Jimmy, I could not get the harness to close around him.
It doesn't loosen up at all?
It was at its loosest. So now they're both on a diet because I can't give one more than the other in front of them. So they're on diets. Today was day one of me cutting down on their food intake. And I'm not sure how it's going to go. So pray for me. But the harness did fit Janice. She's definitely the more adventurous one of them. And I had these visions in my head of me like going for a little hot girl walks with my cats and them walking with me.
I had that vision too, but Bubba said no. So I'm enjoying it. Have you tried? Did you try it?
So I harnessed Janice up yesterday, held her in my arms while she had it on. She was like, not about it. Like, what the fuck is this harness thing all over me? So I bring her out to the patio and I put her down and she just dropped, Casey. Like she was like paralyzed and couldn't walk. Wouldn't move.
That was the same with her. She was trying to go right back to the door. She couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She would not move from where the door was.
They're like, why are you putting me out in this world, this foreign world?
There goes my dream of my hot girl walks with my cats. Looks like it's just me from now on.
I told you. I feel like you got to get to them very young.
Yeah.
Because you see those videos. I should have been
doing this all right.
On TikTok where they're going hiking or just walking on the street. I know.
Not me.
Madonna. She's the diva of the house. She doesn't even kill a fly anymore. She does not pay her rent. She just sits there looking pretty. And she doesn't even hold down the fort anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I've been here 10 years. It's all you.
Mother's Day is coming up. And I feel like in light of the wonderful women in our lives, the Marcies, our moms, our friends, our sister-in-laws, people who we've really had a chance to even watch become mothers and become these amazing parents. I'd like to give them a little shout out today.
Just some mom talk.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Mother's Day? Do you have anything planned yet?
We are going to dinner with my younger brother's family. So that'll be nice.
When is it, actually? What day?
It is May 12th.
Oh, crap. It's coming around the corner.
It is coming, friend. Yes.
Did you get your mom? Do you still do gifts or is it more of just spending time with her at this age?
I like to get her a gift. She's big into gardening, so I was thinking maybe getting her a gift certificate to like one of the nurseries in town so she can get her flowers and stuff.
That's a cute idea. Let her
pick them. Yeah, I don't know. And what's nice is my mom and I share a Prime, so I will typically
You told me that.
Look through like the saved items in her cart and see if there's anything. But right now there's nothing. So I don't know.
I would actually have stolen your idea, to be honest with you, about the gift card to the flower market. Because my mom also is quite obsessed with her garden.
Yeah.
But she's kind of working up her strength. It's probably, I don't know what she's going to do this year.
You could get her like a beautiful, like, hanging plant. That might be something nice, like just maybe find a really pretty plant.
Normally I think I want to say for holidays like this, because normally we'll just do dinner at the house, but again I don't think she'll be cooking, so we'll see what winds up happening. I normally will just bring her flowers and get her a card. We're a big card family.
It's more about just spending time. Last year we got lucky and it was a beautiful day and we ended up spending the day at the beach club. I feel like the last like several years it's rained on Mother's Day or something. So I was pumped last year when we could do the beach. But this year we're doing dinner and I think that'll be nice. So I'm curious, and I was at this Sprinkle this weekend, so I was asking a lot of people. There was a lot of moms there. What's like a life lesson or something that you learned from your mother that just stays with you?
Oh my God. I feel like I'm a mini version of her, which she doesn't like when I say that because she doesn't think it's a compliment.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't she like it?
I don't know.
My mom loves it when people say I'm just like her.
Oh, yeah. No, my mom always takes it as like an insult. I find when I give like life lesson conversations or when someone's asking for advice, I re-say a lot of things that she has told me over the years.
Right.
And I'm like, see, you never thought I listened, you never thought I had it, but I'm literally saying exactly what you said, me growing up nonstop. My mom always said, when someone shows you who you are, believe it. That was the biggest takeaway. What about you?
I feel like same. I feel like my mom, like just the things my mom has said are kind of always in the back of my head. I feel like I learned a lot from her, just even from things she didn't even say, just in watching her and how she was always putting her family first and always working to support herself and always making sure that she always celebrated things that were a testament to our independence and our accomplishments. And so I feel like without her necessarily saying it, she's really like instilled in us a drive and like a motivation. And she also just happens to be like one of the kindest, most like giving people I know. She's taken people in when she's had nothing, and she's taken in other people's families or given when she's the type of person who would give the shirt off her back when she doesn't even have a spare t-shirt. And just even watching that, it's taught me so much just about like acceptance, but also just like with men. I will never forget growing up, and this one's actually kind of funny. I had a crush on this boy. I won't say his name, but I was in fifth grade. And I had a crush on him, and my mother knew his parents. And I'll never forget coming home and telling her that, like, this was my boyfriend and we were dating now when I was, like, 10. And she was like, oh, great. What, do you want to be cheated on for the rest of your life? Because that's the kind of guy he is.
That's so great.
She was right. But I don't know that I needed to hear that at 10 years old. But it has stuck with me. I won't lie.
No, I think with my mom – I feel like as a Tayback, I've learned in the Tayback world, we are very giving and we just always get screwed over. So when we give, it's just like, oh, that's the Tayback curse. You know, it's just kind of something that you expect on the backhand of it. But she, my mom is an unconditional love. She has built this family that will show up. We're ride or die for each other. Regardless if we are at odds ends, we really move as a unit. And I appreciate that because I pushed my family away when I was in high school and when I was a young adult. I needed to figure my stuff out and I didn't realize the value of what I was doing. And I had to like build that trust back. And your family is there. Not everyone has that. I have a very strong dynamic core. And she built that. She used to say this, but now she's like, I don't like when you say it, but she is the matriarch of the family. She is the center pole of it all. But her love language is in action. It's not in, I'll tell you I love you, but it's in the action of what she does for you every single day. She would go, if she was hanging, her leg was hanging off, she would still run a marathon for her kid. She really is a ride or die individual. And it taught me a few things. I saw a lot of different sides to life, I guess you could say, because on the one hand, when you are very giving, people take advantage. There is that flip side to it where as much as you want to give, not everyone deserves you giving it to them. And not everyone deserves to see who you are. Some people are just ugly people, and you don't need to tell everybody everything about yourself. You don't need to give your whole self to somebody who doesn't deserve it. So
I still have trouble with that.
Yeah.
I'm like far too trusting. My thing is I'm very trusting off the bat. I give everyone kind of the benefit of the doubt. I think because I come into things
pure
and honest, right?
Best intentions.
So, right. So I have this problem where I assume everyone else does too. And then I almost every time end up getting burned because they're not worthy of that trust or whatever. And then I am the type of person though where once you've given me reason to not trust you, like, you're out.
I can
maybe let you back in some other way, but never close again. So I asked people at the Sprinkle, and a friend of ours said something her mom always taught her was to always be able to stand on your own two feet and take care of yourself.
Oh, that was another thing, independence.
And then I thought this was very funny because I asked my mom and Felicia's mom, and they're both in their 60s, you know, and their responses cracked me up. These were their answers. One day you'll appreciate me. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
It's funny that you say that, by the way. One day you'll appreciate me. My mom goes, one day you'll be in my shoes. And you'll see how your kids treat you. And she's like, I can't wait.
Never wear dirty underwear.
Facts. That's funny.
And then this one that I just thought was so funny. Open your eyes, but close your legs. Then I thought it'd be really funny. I have a bunch of moms here. Some of you are like first-time moms. Some of you have been at this a while. So I asked them, is there something that you weren't prepared for? And this came up because I used to work with this woman, Tia. She was very funny. And she used to say all the time that the thing that really threw her all the time about being a mom was that she was constantly thinking about the next meal. She's like, I was never that person. I would come home from work and I could be fine with just wine and crackers for dinner. I didn't care what I had for dinner. And when I met my husband, it was the same thing. It was like, whatever's in the fridge. If you don't want it, let's order something. She's like, and then I had two kids and it was like, oh, wait. Now all I'm thinking about is what we're eating, what's for dinner tomorrow, who has lunches made. It was just something that was jarring for me to realize how quickly my thought process suddenly became all about what these two humans are eating.
Oh my God. Because the men in my family are just too much with the food and the planning the food and the obsession and crankiness around the food that it's just like, I want to eat whenever I want to eat. Leave me the fuck alone. Like
was your family the type who all like ate dinner together every night of the week?
Yeah. Every night, period. We ate every meal together.
Okay, that's nice. My mom worked at night, it was only on the nights that she would, and my brothers, then when we got older, my brothers were playing sports and there were times they weren't getting home till 8, 9 o'clock. So even if my mom was home, they weren't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like rare, I think. It was usually just on weekends when we were all able to be together, like on Sundays and Mondays, honestly, where we all just would have dinner together. So I always love that when people like that's something they have, that they have dinner together every night, you know. My Ashley, like I used to make fun of her because she would eat dinner at 5:30 every night or like 5 o'clock. And I'd be like, how? I'm just thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner and you're done. And she'd be like, well, Ryan, because I have two kids and they want to eat. If I want these motherfuckers in bed by 7:30, they're eating at 5:30. So I'm eating at 5:30.
Yeah, because the bath fuck settling down, PJ.
The best answer I got was like, you're actually prepared for nothing. Our friend Felicia actually was like, I feel like I expected everything and yet was prepared for nothing.
When I'm with these kids, especially on this trip, when I was with these kiddos and especially with the baby, because now I'm with him every day and I'm seeing the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm seeing the naps in between. I've pretty much been doing this the whole time. And like, I can do this. And then a curveball happens. And I'm like, I wouldn't even thought of that. I wouldn't even expected that maybe a big bite of something could choke him, you know, because he's nibbling on something. So she'll scoop it out of his mouth. Or, you know, there are just natural things where I'm just like, crap, that is scary that I didn't even, I thought I was prepared because of how much I'm around them. Right. And because I'm around them so often. And then I still, I'm like, I still don't know what it would really be like to be on this on calls 24/7 my entire rest of my life. It's
yeah. Well, that's what one of our friends said. She was like, you know, I thought that I thought about a million different things at the same time and that my mind was always going. And then I had kids and I'm like, how could I even fit more in this brain? It gets worse. Somehow you're doing it all and you don't even realize. Like, you're sitting there eating dinner and like keeping one kid from choking while you're rocking the other one to sleep. It just happens. I don't know. Moms are a wonderful, beautiful.
And she has this baby on her the whole time, right? We're in the airport. Yeah. She's sitting in the chair with him the whole time flying. We're going back. She gives me the baby because she's going to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, yeah. I want to get a little donut because we haven't had breakfast and we're about to go on the plane. Like, I just want a little donut. But it's a self-serve cart. So here I am holding the baby, my knapsack on, I'm holding the baby, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to grab this donut? Like, I can't put him down, you know, and then after you have everything, you're like, okay, my hands are not even accessible. I'm holding the kid. We got to sit somewhere. My arms are exhausted. And they're doing this on a regular basis.
I just kept saying that. I'm like, how do you guys do it? And they're like, I don't know. I'm just in a constant state of tired, but you're just also not tired because you're doing it all.
Each kid is very different. So you got to deal with the different.
Well, yes, everyone I spoke to had more than one kid said that definitely pregnancy is harder the second time around, just because there's this other little baby there that you have to like on where you didn't know what to expect pregnancy wise and things like that. And your body changing that when you have no kids and you're pregnant, if you want to take time to relax, you can. But when you have a 3-year-old at home, you can't take that. You're 8 months pregnant. It's like, no, she still needs a bath or she's still losing her shit over something stupid.
Yeah. Court told me that her first pregnancy, she felt like was more of a breeze. She felt more comfortable being pregnant. Yeah.
Sure. Age has something to do with that too for everyone, right? Like, you're older the second time.
Right. And she was worried, you know, because she was older. But this baby is such a good, really, really just happy, well-behaved, just like precious little thing. Well, this kid is just a blessing in every capacity.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's common for all second children, if they might be, if there's a different temperament, but this temperament of this baby is very calm, cool, and chill.
So the New York Times actually just put out a whole article on birth order and its relevancy. I fully believe in birth order having an effect on your personality and an impact on how people behave throughout their lives. I even ask it to people like on a date, if they have siblings, like if we're like talking and they tell me they have siblings, I'm like, okay, which one are you? Where do you fall in line?
That's funny.
It really does.
What's the one you like least are enjoyable to hear? The middle,
even though I'm a middle, but it's also a little different with me because I'm a middle, but the only girl.
Right.
So
I
share the middle, and I also, because I'm the only girl, have some of the like older child.
Right.
Tendencies and traits. Probably the middle is one that I'm like, okay, so you might be a bit of a mess. The baby, it's not that it's a turnoff. Okay. Typically that's when I'm like, all right, you are the mama's boy. You're still. You definitely still.
You get all of the catering to you more.
Yes.
Whereas the oldest kind of grows up the fastest.
Right. And that's so like I just went on a date recently with this guy and it's I'm happy I went on the date. He was lovely personality a bit. We chatted fine. We were
your whole energy shifted.
Because I'm trying to be nice. How do you really
feel, right?
Well, it was just weird because texting was great, right? He seemed to have so much personality. And then we got there and it was like, hit a wall. And I was trying to have some grace and be like, okay, he's probably nervous. Because then I'm thinking, like my sister-in-law pointed out, how would you feel if this were like your nephew and he came home and told you he was on a date and he was so nervous? You would feel so bad for him and you'd want to help him. So I was trying to give this guy grace. And I even said to him at one point, relax, it's just me. We've been talking all week. You don't have to be nervous. We're good. But he also was like very needy and that I like needed to know his birth order. Like, and I was like, oh, okay.
Which was it?
He was not the oldest. Yeah. And he wasn't the youngest. He was middle, but he was like the younger middle.
Got it.
So,
oh, you.
Like me, but he clearly had been, I was like, either your ex-wife did this to you or it's your birth order. Because literally it was our first date and he was asking me what to wear. He couldn't like pick the restaurant, like was panicked over it and was telling me, he was like, I'm a little bit anxious about what to wear right now. I have jeans on and a button down. Should I change? I'm like, no, you're good. What? Where do you think we're going? We're not headed to Kensington Palace. We're going to fucking a wine bar. What do you? No, you God should put bless. Your tux on.
You should have said that.
I know.
If he came in a tux, I would die. Some men are just more comfortable, which is why I've been told, again,
yes.
Not the poll for this, but I've been told many times over, when you text with someone, meet them yep. the next day or whatever. Don't waste time talking to them because...
Somebody told me they have a 3-day minimum.
Well, because people just feel more... Some people, not everyone, but some people uh-huh. feel just way more comfortable over...
Texting.
Yeah, virtually than they do in person. Their personality shells up. It takes yes. a long time to then maybe get it out, or maybe that's just who they are.
I have to say, I really like the 3-day minimum rule where if you... They won't go. If they meet someone on an app, they won't go more than 3 days without meeting in person. And I do respect that. But for me, that would be difficult because you know me. I don't like to be.
Oh.
Yes. When summer hits, it's a little bit different. But in the rest of the school year, I'm in bed at 8. So if we start talking on a Monday, I'm not going to hang out with you until Friday. It's just not going to happen. You got to give me the 5-day. But I think I could do that as long as within 3 days there's a plan to meet. So I think I'm going to adopt it, but make it that within 3 days we have to make a plan to meet because I will be a part
Didn't
of the problem.
You said you were going to start FaceTiming them before you went out. What happened?
I did.
Are you still doing? Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was just something about like seeing me in person. He literally waited. Okay. This I thought was so weird. And maybe I'm just like reading into things. He waited in the car. So I've told you this before, how I always try to show up like 3 to 5 minutes late. No more than 5 minutes.
Right.
No more than 5 minutes because that's rude. But like, let them get there first and get to the table or get to the bar, whatever. So I showed up at exactly like 7:03. And I was on the phone FaceTiming actually with my niece and my mom. And I was like, all right, I got to go. I'm walking into this restaurant. I text him as I'm walking in saying, I'm here. And he goes, me too. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm walking in. Literally, like, as I'm walking through the door, I say these words. I walk in. I give his name at the hostess stand. And she's like, oh, you're the first one in your party to arrive. Well, that's weird. But he told me he was here. I look at the bar. I'm like, oh, maybe he went straight to the bar. He's not at the bar. So I'm like, huh, okay. So I go over to the bar. I'm not kidding. I waited a full 5 minutes before he came in. And I didn't say anything. I was just like, oh, hey. Because he, like I said, was already so awkward. Like, I could tell by his demeanor. He was so... like anxious. So then I, as we're sitting and as the night goes on, he reveals that he was there and sitting in the car waiting for me to get there first in the parking lot. And I was like, wait, what? And
he's like, I didn't want to be like,
he's like, I didn't want to be some creep, like sitting at the bar by myself. I go, so was I a creep for sitting at the bar by myself waiting for you? Like, what?
Okay.
And he was like, no, it's different if you're a girl. I'm like, no, that is honestly like pussy shit to me.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, you're going to sit in the car. And Casey, this restaurant and the parking lot was not that big. So that means he saw me walk in. Like,
and stayed 5 minutes longer.
Like, now that's just fucking weird. I'm sorry. That is like a game that I, you're too old to be playing, sir. You are 41. Let's go. Be a fucking gentleman and be there before me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely, I mean, I know you and I think you just need more of a confident.
Yeah.
Decision making.
And like no bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't need someone who's going to wait in the car. If that is your style, don't ask me on a date.
I've waited before and, you know, I have such a limited, because normally when I date, I end up seeing them for a while. And I haven't dated in so long. And
right.
My sister-in-law always tells me, don't be on your phone. Because people will see you. They'll socialize with you. Like, don't
put
yourself off. Because you never know. She's like, it could be a great story where this date could suck, but maybe,
right,
you know, you're out and you see some, you know, or maybe they know somebody. You just don't know when you're going out, even if the person's a dud.
No, but my therapist says that to me a lot too, that when I'm sitting there by myself, like even if I'm waiting for a friend or my mom or a date, whatever it is, if you get there first, she's like, you should not be on your phone.
Yep.
I'm like, but that's when I check my Instagram.
You just want to always look, because everyone else is zoned in on what they're doing. So you want to just kind of be zoned in on something too. You don't want to just sit there like just looking around.
Right. But I guess at the same time,
that makes you look open and approachable. Just like when we go out and with for drinks with friends, right? We're so fixated on our friends that we don't even look approachable to be like.
To men, right.
Right.
Now, I'm curious, one more thing about the mamas before we go.
Yeah.
Do you follow any momfluencers?
Yes.
Give me your thoughts. I have this one friend who I work with who I'm always trying to get to be a momfluencer, but because she's so like honest that I feel like she'd be honest about like even the things she fucked up and like she wouldn't make life look perfect all the time. And I have a huge just grievance with these momfluencers who make it seem like everything is so easy and so wonderful. And then my second biggest grievance are the momfluencers who like subtly mom shame, who say they're like doing this because they love mamas and women and moms are the most wonderful people and they do all that shit. But then they're like, my kids are enjoying the outdoors because I would never let them stay inside and watch TV.
Yeah,
and
it's please.
Like, well, so what are you saying, bitch? That it's bad if someone does? Like, shut up.
So
I'm curious your thoughts.
I don't follow many, to be honest with you, but there's this one girl that I really like. Her name is Camille. Her last name is Monday. And she met her husband, his second marriage. She's like her first marriage, his second marriage. He has two kids and now they have a kid together. And she was very frank about how, you know, she wants more kids, but it was a lot. Her pregnancy wasn't easy. She is transparent about it. She does.
Yeah.
She does a lot of lives. And I enjoy her because she just seems like a real girl. And just very chill. And she'll put out like some things that are sponsorships, but things that she believes in, but she's not trying to sell a dream. It's interesting because she's a stepmom and a mom, right?
And a mom. So that is super interesting because I feel like you and I have spoken about this. A lot of the men we meet now have kids.
Right.
If they're our age or older.
Right. I know. I was just talking about this on the trip, on my trip, but like the pool is small.
Yeah.
So you can't eliminate it even if you want.
Or something that maybe back in the day you would have been like, no, like right now
on your list. Right. Yeah, no. So I love how she speaks about how she sees the family and how, because she has to respect their mom, you know, and she's not their mom. She can't make choices, you know, but the kids do go to their house and they stay there and the father's very active in their life. And so it is really nice to hear the positivity that she sends with having stepkids and how she uses the words and how she will work with the content in the lines of how the mom really would like it and not just because it's not her kid. You know, she can do, so she shows her kid a lot more because she can't show the stepkids unless her husband posts it. And she gets some commentary and then she'll go on live and she'll talk about it or she'll make a video about it. I fell down that rabbit hole with some of them, you know, but majority of them, no.
Well, that I like.
I don't fold into the, you know, my daughter's a Barbie doll and everything's perfection.
Right. sometimes you just know what they're posting is bullshit. I'm like, right. No, I have four nieces and nephews. I have best friends with children. There's no fucking way that that's your reality.
How do you trust that what they're doing is even...
Yep. No, I completely agree. And it's definitely not limited to just momfluencers. We are equal influencer critics over here.
Right. So. Yeah.
The whole other thing that we don't know anything about, mom friends. My cousin talks about it all the time. She's like, I have my same friends from growing up. I was not built for making mom friends. And now I have to go to these parties and like try and at least be somewhat nice because I don't want my kids to not have friends.
Courtney talks about that. So Courtney has like, she's had a hard time. Like she went on when I think she first started with Hunter, she went on those Facebook groups because it's especially within the little community they live in the city.
Yeah.
There's a lot of families. So, and then with school and stuff, she found every time there was very rare she would click with a mom and the son would click also. And every time she clicked with them, within a year, they moved. And it wasn't because of Courtney. It was just their life took them differently.
Right.
So she's like, great. Because it's just happened to her again. Last year, she met this friend. And now this friend is leaving in a month or two and moving to California. So it's just, it's like a curse almost that she finds the kid and the mom actually connect. Whereas in the past, it's like, oh, the kid's really cool, but the parents are, ugh, like, I don't want to hang out with them. They're not my kind of people. He's not doing the go over play date without the parents often at all.
No, even birthday parties, they invite the parents. And it's awkward, I'm sure, to like go there and like have to.
Well, it's better to have the parents all there because they're all from the same school. So in some level, they kind of know each other. And then the responsibility of the kid is on the parent and not the person throwing the party.
Hosting
as much.
It, yeah.
Right. So it takes that pressure off. But my sister always like has alcohol there for the parents to like loosen up, you know. But
I mean, you need to.
It's hard to get the right combo to connect, especially in the city, because people rent. They come and go so frequently that you can't plant roots the way you can in the suburbs. It's just very different. And that was eye-opening.
Yeah, right now I'm good with the friends I have.
Good thing is that your friends are already moms. So you have the built-in mom friends. Regardless.
So we have people we can go to. Yeah.
But your kids hanging out with the same age of kids is just a whole other beast.
I know.
So you might get advice from your friends that have been your friends your whole life, but you still have the challenge of the age range of your child.
And like, what if none of the moms are cool? Like,
there's sports, and you have to deal with the sport parents, and you're dealing with the school parents.
And rivalries and like who...
Yeah.
Everyone had, like Ashley always says, that everyone always has like an arch nemesis from growing up. Imagine you somehow, not knowing, become good friends with the mom of your kid's arch nemesis. And then you can't be friends anymore. Wild. You can't be friends. Oh, well, that was fun.
Well, actually, you just switch them out to a different class. There's always two classes going.
Okay. Get out of this kid's class.
Oh, this kid is in this class? I'm going to switch teachers.
Yeah. Thank you. You're not going there. Thank you. That would be even worse, I think, if your arch nemesis's kid is in your class. Like, somehow. Yeah, no way. I'd be like, uh-uh. We can't be in that class. We're actually switching districts. I hope that all the mothers out there have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Yes. Me too. Happy Mother's Day, y'all. Hit the follow button and tune in to new episodes every Tuesday. Streaming on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Socials on Instagram and TikTok. Leave a note or comment or a DM. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.